Two things to highlight for you. Firstly, you'll notice today the hymn books are on your seats. If, however, you want a large print or the music edition, please collect those from the back, and we would ask you to return those at the end. Church news is available if you haven't already collected it, and that's as usual in the vestibule at the back. Please note in the back of this, there's a form for you to vote on the church meeting times. We're just trying to get a feel for when it would be most convenient to have church meetings. So please look at the back inside cover, fill in the form and return it to the box, which is at the back of the church. Tomorrow, for those of you who are feeling energetic, there's a bank holiday walk. And Georgina Forbes is leading that. So if you want details, please speak to Georgina after the service. And finally, we hope that you're all practicing your hidden talents, ready for the talent show that's coming up in support of the fund for the renovation of the kitchen. So please start dusting off those instruments and dancing shoes and speak to one of the organising committee to book your slot. Thank you.
Let us join to worship God. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. We join to sing, Holy, Holy, Holy. Let us join together to pray. Let us pray. Come, God, the Holy Trinity, for we would worship you. We worship you as the one who has created the universe. We worship you as the one who has saved us. Jesus, we worship you as the one who empowers us to keep on going, the Holy Spirit. We worship you in prayer, word, and song. Help us to understand more and to know how to be guided by you day by day. We confess, O God, that we do not always worship you through the way that we live life. We confess the wrong that we have done. We do the things that we know we should not do. We act in ways that fail you. We let other people down and we fail to meet our own standards. Forgive us, O God, for all that is wrong in our lives, as we claim for ourselves today the promise which is ours in Jesus, that our sins are forgiven. Amen. Thanks be to God. Let us say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. So you all need one of these wee puzzles, and maybe Billie Jean, would you come out here and help me give these out? Billie Jean, yes, you, come here. Vaughan, would you start doing that same? Would you give everybody one of these? Everybody needs one. I'll take some. You start over that gang, and I'll do this gang. You need sight of it, you know. One between two is fine. How are you getting on, Billie Jean? Has everybody got one? No, so I'm not even talking to you, Vaughan. Not even asking. Heartless. Fun? He's not listening to anybody, I. Yeah, he's busy. He's got a job. Put your hand in there if you haven't got one. You haven't got, you're out of them. Yeah. Oh, here's one. Thank you very much. You got one? No, I've seen that. Vaughan, have you got a spare one? Thank you. Tip. Right, so doors at the top. Have you got one, Tony?
No.
Oh, one over here. Spare. Thank you, John. Oh, three. Lordy, Lord. One for each eye. Right, so we have the doors and we have the threads heading towards the doors. Right, which one opens the door? Which one? This one? This one? Middle? You're right. You got it? Which one? Left or right? Which one? Left? Right? Okay. Right, so obviously this is your homework. Take it home, get a pen. Yes? There's a bit of debate going on. I want to ask you this question. Three doors, two threads, how many puzzles? One. Three doors, two threads, one puzzle. How does that work then? Three doors, two threads, but only one puzzle. Is it not three? If it's three doors, is it not three puzzles? Should it not be three puzzles? Is it three puzzles? Is it? No? It's three doors. How can it not be three puzzles? Three doors, but two threads, but one puzzle. One puzzle. One puzzle. Three doors, but one puzzle. And that might remind you of somebody else, mightn't it? Yeah? It might possibly remind you of something else, mightn't it? Possibly? Maybe? Yeah? We're going to sing. Father, we adore you. And just when you think you've got it all sorted, so we've got God is one God, Jesus, God the Creator, God the Holy Spirit, yep, just got my head around all of that. Then we get a reading like this from Proverbs, where divine wisdom is personified as a woman who has the role as teacher, darling, lover, and also her role in creation as the master worker. Olive Springham will read this one passage in two bits to us.
The book of Proverbs, chapter 8, verses 1 to 14, and then verses 22 to 31. In praise of wisdom. Listen, wisdom is calling out. Reason is making herself heard. On the hilltops near the road and at the crossroads she stands. At the entrance to the city, beside the gates, she calls. I appeal to all of you. I call to everyone on earth. Are you immature? Learn to be mature. Are you foolish? learn to have sense. Listen to my excellent words. All I tell you is right. What I say is the truth. Lies are hateful to me. Everything I say is true. Nothing is false or misleading. To those with insight, it is all clear. To the well-informed, it is all plain. Choose my instruction instead of silver. Choose knowledge rather than the finest gold. I am wisdom. I am better than jewels. Nothing you want can compare with me. I am wisdom, and I have insight. I have knowledge and sound judgment. To honor the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil ways and false words. I make plans and carry them out. I have understanding, and I am strong. The Lord created me first of all, the first of his works, long ago. I was made in the very beginning, at the first, before the world began. I was born before the oceans, when there were no springs of water. I was born before the mountains, before the hills were set in place, before God made the earth and its fields, or even the first handful of soil. I was there when he set the sky in place, when he stretched the horizon across the ocean, when he placed the clouds in the sky, when he opened the springs of the ocean and ordered the waters of the sea to rise no further than he said. I was there when he laid the earth's foundations. I was beside him like an architect. I was his daily source of joy, always happy in his presence, happy with the world and pleased with the human race. Amen.
It's interesting in view of the whole culture of blonde jokes that in the Sistine Chapel, the wisdom is personified as a blonde woman. So any of you who are blonde or no blondes, just give them that bit of information. Right, moving on. In Romans, the peace with God comes through our Lord Jesus Christ, our risen and ascended Lord. God's love has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. This passage we read to us by Katie Frost.
This is from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. Right with God. Now that you have been put right with God through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He has brought us by faith into this experience of God's grace in which we now live. And so we boast of the hope we have of sharing God's glory. We also boast of our troubles, because we know that trouble produces endurance. Endurance brings God's approval, and his approval creates hope. This hope does not disappoint us, for God has poured out his love into our hearts by means of the Holy Spirit, who is God's gift to us.
Again, from Jesus' final sermon to the disciples at the Last Supper, Jesus says that his work will be continued on the earth by the Holy Spirit. this passage you read to us by Alistair Borthwick.
This reading's from John, chapter 16, verses 12 to 15. The work of the Holy Spirit. I have much more to tell you, but now it would be too much for you to bear. When, however, the Spirit comes, who reveals the truth about God, he will lead you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but he will speak of what he hears and tell you of things to come. He will give me glory, because he will take what I say and tell it to you. All that my Father has is mine. That is why I said that the Spirit will take what I give him and tell it to you. Amen.
Amen. There was a time when I was of the school, which I have to confess I think I'm not on my own with, which was Trinity Sunday. Go on holiday and get a visiting preacher in. Yeah. And that was until I read a book by Brian Wren. Brian Wren, who you might know of as a contemporary URC hymn writer, wrote a book called What Language Shall I Borrow? And it's all about the whole issue about inclusive language in worship and inclusive language in hymnody. That's his world. And the last chunk of this book is all about the Trinity. And the idea of the Trinity as like a dance. So if you imagine people dancing, you've got that whole thing about, well, who's leading this? Who's guiding it? Who's holding it back? Who's moving it forward? How does it get from one place to another? Is it one? Is it two? Is it a line? And is it like this? Then the minute you get it like this, then it moves, and so it goes on. And there's a fluidity in that picture that I find appealing when I think about God. And also helps me to understand the way that the Trinity works. It's not to deny that God is not constant, for God is constant. But with God, if God is God, then God must always be on the move. You know, we tend to think of, we in our little, you know, little stable island, we tend to think of, for example, creation as being something that's fixed, done, finished. Well, you wouldn't think of that if you were Icelandic, would you? You know, the new is still moving, still creating. So that fixedness, that rigidity, that I know for some people is helpful in how they want to get with, you know, with God. They want to nail it. I would respectfully suggest that that's just not possible. And that idea of the Trinity as the dance of God is, maybe you might find it a useful picture. I certainly do. And I have to say as well, for myself, my own experience is that just when I am sure, I mean, I'm not talking about this stuff. I'm talking about, you know, just when I think that person is just like that, or that concept is just like that, something always happens that contradicts it. And I'm now at the stage where when I know that God is about to play a little trick on me, because and I apologize for some of you, that whole picture is too anthropomorphic, but that is how God worked with me. Just as I know, certainly I just know that any minute now something is going to happen that's going to contradict that. Now, that whole desire for having the things of God nailed down, I would respectfully say to you, is not that need for rigidity and certainty is not just in the ownership of those who are more conservative in their thinking of the things of God. It is also true of those who are more liberal in their understanding of the things of God. That they also have a need for things being nailed down as well. For anybody giving up your sacred cows, as it were, is a difficult thing. And your sacred cow could be less high-powered liberalism. I was having a conversation with somebody last week about, can you be not a Christian and a member of the church? Now, we're a broad-based liberal church, but I would respectfully suggest to you that maybe is a bridge too far for us. We, in our conversation, we got to the place where we're talking about the fact that maybe actually it's something about your understanding of what it means to be a Christian. That's the thing that needs to change. That having, that rigidity that says, oh yes, Christians, they believe this, 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 and this, and this, therefore I cannot be among them. That's the bit that needs to be got rid of. And actually, there is a need for, as a liberal, this person to bring creativity into their thinking about the things of God and the things of the church. So in these readings, we get this entwinedness and this enmeshing, this lack of clarity, which I would say is absolutely essential when you're thinking about the things of God. I know that for some of you is not what you want to hear, but I would respectfully say that I think it's true. I know that there is a rock solid certainty that God is God, but what that means and how that works is a very fluid thing. And how that works for me for today is different for how that works for you for today, and how that will be for me for tomorrow. Because God, if God is God, then there must be more to explore. Because otherwise, God isn't God. God's Alan Shearer. It's just not, just not big enough. Not big enough for all of us. God is always, there's always more. Oh, I've cracked it. No, you haven't. You've made something else. There's more to know. The passage from Romans, I'm going to read it to you, and I'm going to read it to you in the Message translation. By entering through faith into what God has always wanted to do for us, set us right with him, make us fit for him, we have it all together with God because of our Master Jesus. And that's not all. We throw open our doors to God and discover at the same moment that he has already thrown open his door to us. We find ourselves standing where we always hoped we might stand, out in the wide open spaces of God's grace and glory, standing tall and shouting our praise. There's more to come. Continue to shout our praise even when we're hemmed in with troubles, because we know how troubles can help develop passionate patience in us, and how that patience in turn forges tempered steel of virtue, keeping us alert for whatever God will do next. In alert expectancy such as this, we are never left feeling shortchanged. Quite the contrary. We can't round up enough containers to hold everything God generously pours into our lives through the Holy Spirit. God is a living organism. God is a living thing. And the Trinity reminds us of that essential truth, that God is a living thing. Like if you were doing a dissection, you've got a living thing, well, was living thing, and it's dissected, you know, right, God, Father, God, Son, God, Holy Spirit, and you dissect it, then, my friends, you're left with body parts. And the one is gone. Separately, all fine and good, but actually it is that together is where there is life. So the readings give us Jesus speaking to the disciples, making it clear that there are linkages between God the Father and the Spirit of Truth that will allow us to develop all things, that the pinnacle of the whole thing is Jesus, that's what we believe. But the bit about the Holy Spirit makes it clear that there is more to come. There's more understanding to come. There's more development to come. We've experienced that. You have a really great event. You go out for dinner, or you have a really good time with somebody. That's where you get to. It's really good. But better is that you talk about it. It becomes one of your family stories. You remember it. Times are down and you think nobody loves you. You go back to that story. Yes? You know what I'm talking about? Nod. You've had a good experience, but there's more to come, because if it was a good experience, so you can revisit it, and it's a precious thing. It's not a one, you know, Jesus, That's not how it is. It's part of moves on, and we can explore it and live it again. And we experience that in ordinary things. So if you say to me, the Holy Trinity, I don't understand it, I would say to you, give me a list of all the doctrines that you do. Is it just me? You know, I couldn't nail them all down. I could wrap them all up in words. But actually nailing them all down, you know, if I was thinking about this, that the Trinity is the only Sunday in the year, isn't it, where we focus on a doctrine. We don't have Incarnation Sunday. We have Christmas. We don't have Holy Spirit Sunday. We have Pentecost. You know, we don't have Sanctification Sunday. We don't have Justification Sunday. And suddenly, in the mix, we put in Trinity, the doctrine of the Trinity. So, it's not that it is the most difficult concept that there is in Christianity. The bad news is, it's because there's a lot of other really difficult concepts in Christianity. It's not uniquely terrible and challenging. It's all challenging. It's all, we get as far as we can get, and we know that there's more and we don't understand. That's how it is. And it's not that the Trinity is uniquely tough. It's all tough, and it all demands more of us. But the most important thing is, does the notion of God, as we understand God revealed in the Trinity, help us to relate to those around the globe who need our care? That God, who has made us, has made others as well, and therefore we need to be interested in them. God is creator. And does it motivate us to know that we are precious and loved? God as Jesus. And does it motivate us to keep on going and to know that we do what we do, not under our own power, but along with and through God? And that is the Holy Spirit. And that is where Trinity matters. It really matters in the dance of life. So let us be still, and then we will pray. God who has created. God who has saved. God who has strengthened. One God, perfect as we are not, eternal as we are time, and everywhere as we are contained by flesh. Help us to know enough of you to live lives shaped by your love. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. The hymn, We Give Immortal Praise. Let us join to pray. God, as Holy Trinity, guide us in our prayers for the Church and for the world. Creator God, we pray for your world. Conscious of all that human beings have done to mar it, but conscious also of its wonders and its beauty. The oil spillage. The hole in the ozone layer. The felling of forests in South America. God, three in one, hear our prayer. God the Son, during your earthly life you cared for the people around you and brought relief wherever you could. We pray for those who are in hospital at this time. For those who work there. For those involved in medicine and social work. Carers. Therapists. God, three in one, hear our prayer. God, the Spirit, Lord and giver of life, we pray for the Church of God throughout the world. For those Christians who suffer persecution. For the church in Iraq, for the shrinking church in Israel-Palestine, for the Christians of North Korea, we pray for our fellow Christians in Kingston. For the Christian communities in the centre of the town. All Saints. Union Street Baptist Church. His Church. God, three in one, hear our prayer. We pray for ourselves. With the challenges that await us in the week, choices that we are facing. The anxieties that we have about money, health, time. We offer our prayers, those that we've spoken and those that we haven't. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We continue our worship as we make our offering. Let us pray. One God who has given us the skill to earn this money, Creator. One God who has given us the reason to give this money, the Son. One God who has poured generosity and motivation into us, the Spirit. Accept these gifts we bring. Amen. Final hymn is number 378. Get up. Oh, sorry, Tony, I didn't even tell you. 378. Awake, my soul, and with the sun, thy daily stage of duty run. 378. a blessing on us for our faithfulness in worship. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three in one and one in three. A blessing on our relationships, on those who need us the most. In the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Saviour, three in one and one in three. A blessing on our lives as we go about our daily business. In the name of God, who was and is to come, three in one and one in three. Amen.